Hello, everyone. I'm Courtney Linden, and I'm currently hanging out in the virtual office of Sin Linden, VP of Customer Relations for Linden Lab. And for those of us in customer relations, Sin is our fearless leader. She guides the Second Life support teams, including billing, risk management, technical support, in-world support, plus external sales and their management. So I was pretty excited that she accepted our invitation to have a sit-down chat so that you can get to know a little bit more about her and what her teams are doing to enhance your Second Life. So thanks for joining us, Sin.
Thanks for inviting me, Courtney. That was a delightful intro. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. So you've been working at Second Life for 4 years. Can you tell us about your journey leading up to your current role?
Sure. So I started at Linden Lab in June, 4 years ago. I was originally hired as the second concierge that we ever had. The first concierge was Lee Linden, and he and I and Michael worked in a little glass box in part of the lab that we called the penalty box. where we mostly dealt with, at that time, abuse issues and the very beginnings of a very fledgling concierge program. And I did that for a while, and then one day Ryan Linden came to me and said, how'd you like to learn to put up some land? And I thought that sounded kind of exciting, so Ryan taught me how to put an island on the grid. And I did kind of rolled that into my other job, and before I knew it, I had a team of several people. And then pretty soon we decided to roll the liaison team into that, so we got a bigger team going. And as we got more widely known in the real world for being a fantastic place to hang out, we had more and more residents, and so we needed to build a bigger team. So eventually I ended up directing the support team, and then almost 2 years ago now, well, I guess about a year and a half ago, I became the VP of Customer Relations, and it's kind of history since then.
Very cool. So it sounds like you've done a lot of different things, but what really makes you passionate about working at Second Life?
I think there's probably a couple things. I think being a resident myself makes a big impact on my professional time that I spend at the lab. By being somebody who's deeply invested in content creation and building and texture creation and that sort of thing, I get to experience the same triumphs and challenges that the residents do, and so I think it gives me a very unique perspective on the way that Second Life can be very challenging sometimes to work with, and it also gives me that sense of joy and euphoria that you get when you interact in such a unbelievably fantastic environment that Second Life can create and the communities that are here. So I think that it's partially my ability to both be employed by the lab and participate. That makes me very passionate, but the bottom line really for me is that we have some of the most phenomenal, unbelievable, intelligent, and just kind of amazing people that participate in Second Life, and it is my privilege to be able to work with them, both on the lab side and on the community side. I have never in my career known such highly invested and really great people to be around as we have in Second Life in our resident base.
So cool. So as I mentioned, you are our fearless leader, customer relations and support.
I don't know if I'm fearless. I try to be fearless.
Well, that's definitely the impression I get.
Oh, good. I'm doing my job then.
So how would you say you spend your time on a typical day? And what's your favorite part of a typical day?
I don't think I have a typical day, actually. I've come to expect the unexpected from my days, and I think that's part of what gives me so much excitement when I come to work every day, is that I don't know what's going to necessarily happen. I think that working in Second Life is probably a fantastic example of the best laid plans of mice and men, right? I mean, you come in with this level of expectation, and then by by 8:30, you know, I usually get to work around 7:30 in the morning, and I by 8:30, you know, everything's probably, you know, pretty much blown out of the water from what I expected. However, I spend a lot of time mentoring people at the lab. That's a really important part of my role, I think, and I really enjoy the time that I spend working with people one-on-one in that capacity. I have several really fantastic teams that I get to spend time with, helping them figure out what their next steps are, what their processes are. I am very lucky to be the executive sponsor on land, so I get to spend a lot of time thinking about something that I'm very passionate about, which is land and how it works and how we develop for it and what we'd like to do with it in the future. That's really fulfilling for me, but I don't really think there is a typical day for me.
So what else is going on with you today? What's on your iPod shuffle rotation right now?
Oh, man. Okay. I have the most eclectic iPod rotation right now of all time. And actually, I just have to bring it up here and talk to you guys about it. I got this really strange desire to listen to a great deal of Hans Zimmer. So I have a big glut of his stuff on there, including the Gladiator soundtrack, which is sort of hilarious. He's very passionate person, I think. I have Mozart's Requiem on there. I have all of Chopin's nocturnes, which are some of my favorite pieces of music. A ton of the Eels. I don't know if you know the Eels.
Oh,
Eels are kind of fun.
Eels.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of my favorite songs. Five for Fighting's on there, but so is Goldfrapp, not two people you probably find too close to each other. And the Flaming Lips is on there, another big one. Tons of Gorillaz and this really funky band called Hot Chip that are from the UK. And believe it or not, this is really embarrassing, but I do have Journey's Greatest Hits on my iPod right now.
They are a classic.
They are. Lots of the Killers, lots of Kings of Leon, lots of the Kooks, Lady Tron, Levenhurst. It goes on and on. I have, one of our VPs is always really happy when I'm in the Mountain View office and they can listen to my share on iTunes because I have such weird music. Test Reflex, Red Hot Chili Peppers, VNV Nation. That's a pretty eclectic list of stuff.
Well, I know with your busy, you have a very busy schedule. Do you ever have a chance to go in world for fun? And if so, what do you like to do or where do you like to go?
Well, I do go in world fairly often. I have several active alts, and I try and get each of them in world as much as I can just because they have different circles of friends. But I think my favorite thing of all time to do in world is build. I love building. I can't go very long without doing it. It's just one of those things that really gets my juices flowing. I just really love it. I'm just being able to take an image or a picture that I've taken somewhere and then put that in world via textures and build with that. That's kind of like the ultimate for me. And I hadn't done any kind of 3D modeling or didn't really know much about that world before I started at Linden Lab. And Jack actually taught me how to build my first year. And I love it. I've never looked back. So I really love to do that. That's probably my number one.
Well, speaking of building things, you've built a unique culture around the customer relations team. And, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, one of the challenges I think for us has been trying to find other support cultures that we can compare ourselves to so that we can learn about, you know, what best practices are at other companies. And what I've found time and again is that Second Life has such a unique user base and there's such a unique set of challenges around working with our particular with Second Life itself. It's not a situation that most customer service groups find themselves in. So it's a pretty challenging thing to develop a program around such a very complex product the way that Second Life is. So one of the things that we found is really, really useful is to have very highly autonomous, passionate, involved people who feel empowered to make decisions on their own when they're working with the residents. And that leads to a great deal of trust and sense of ownership around their roles. And I think that we've been able to create a very unique culture here in support of people who are highly, highly invested and very passionate about what they do. So I'm extraordinarily proud of the support team. I think that they are some of the best people that I've ever worked with. And allowing them to come up with solutions for problems, to participate in planning, to have a say in the way that we develop the things that we do in the support team has allowed them to become very invested in what they're doing in a way that people in a call center just, I don't think, ever feel that way because they're as involved in Second Life as the residents are. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, the support team has grown quite a bit over the past few years, and also from the beginnings of what you were saying in your beginning of this interview, but you know, of where you just kind of started from a couple of people in a booth to, you know, now it's a quite a bit of a team, a large team. Can you talk a little bit about the evolution and what do you think has changed the most?
Wow, that's a big question. I think one of our biggest challenges has been growing as fast as Second Life has grown. You know, the companies like eBay that have 14, 15,000 people, they have 7,500 people in customer service at eBay. It's half of their company. Yeah. And that's not actually really unusual. Most companies, their support base is anywhere from a quarter to a third of their total company size. And that's not quite the case here. And it did take us a while to kind of ramp up and meet the extraordinary level of growth that we saw a couple years ago here at the lab. I mean, we went from a very, very small user base with a very funky and interesting kind of early adopter type experience to something that's much more mainstream now than it used to be. And I don't think we've really hit that kind of mainstream market yet, but I do think that, you know, people are now much more aware of Second Life. They kind of know what it is when you mention it. They don't get that glazed over look on their face when you tell them where you work. You know, there's definitely, you know, people are more aware of us and what we are. And so I think that actually as Second Life has evolved, it's required us to really evolve and change to meet that. And so some of the, I don't think we're done. I mean, I don't think we're anywhere near done in support. I think there's lots more that we can do, but, you know, we have to do that in a measured way that allows for change in world and allows for changes and shifts within the company. So that's what we try and do is balance between, you know, where we see need and where we can provide support and places where, you know, we want to let the community develop. I think that that's a really challenging balance too. So, you know, as far as what's changed the most, I think it's just the size of the world itself. You know, when I started, you could walk across the mainland.
Wow.
Now we're the size of, I don't know what real world country we're the size of now. Last time I checked, it was like Bolivia or something. Something, you know, outrageous like that. Yeah. So growing to meet not just the size, but also the complexity and the changes that we introduce and being able to support people in those, that's, you know, that's our biggest challenge. And that's where I think we've changed the most is trying to develop to support the needs that we see coming from the community.
Well, you just talked a little bit about some of the biggest challenges. What accomplishment are you most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of the way that we train and support the employees and support and the people who work in those teams. And I'm just really proud of the way that our teams operate and the level of care and investment that they have in their roles. And I'm really proud of that.
Well, I know that you want Second Life support to be the best, and you look to other models that you admire. Where do you see support going in the next few years?
Well, that's kind of like asking where is Second Life going in the next few years, and if I could predict that, my job would be a lot easier. We are going to get better and better at being able to provide tools not only to the people who work in support, but also to the residents that can help them diagnose where their problems are in a way that we can't really do right now. So to me, as much as the hands-on stuff is really important, and we're making some really important changes there that I think are going to be critical for us going forward, I think allowing people more access to the diagnostics and tools that can help them manage their own experience and manage, you know, what they not only want to see, but where they want to go and what they want to remember, and helping them, you know, figure out why, you know, does X keep happening every time I log in to this region, you know, getting that information to a place where they can access it, I think that would be a tremendous change that we'd like to see happen.
Very cool. So what would you say is your vision for how we will become the best in Second Life support?
I think that's a really easy question. There's only one way that you become better at support, and it's not process, and it's not even necessarily the people that you hire, and it's not necessarily you know, what tools you have or all those fun things that we talk about. The key to being successful in support is in listening to your customers. And if you can't listen to your customers and hear what they have to say and be able to respond and react to that, you're just not going to be successful. So as we, you know, enable those places where we can hear more and engage more and interact more, that'll just make us better in the long run. So although we're already very much engaged with people in several areas, I think there we can be doing a lot more. And when we get to that point where we can really, you know, get everybody, you know, giving us feedback and being a conversation rather than just purely being reactive, that's when everybody wins.
Very cool. Well, I think that you've answered a lot of really great questions, and I think that we might be about out of time. So I just really want to thank you for taking the time to meet with me and chat with me and share your vision with the residents who view this little video.
Thanks, Courtney. Much appreciated. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.